There's a proverb that says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. It's refreshing to receive good news from a far country. It's refreshing to hear something that's going well for others that are distant from us and that we don't get to interact with frequently. And such was the case here that Epaphras had good news from a far country. Epaphras had good news from Colossae, and he brought that good news to the Apostle Paul and to Timothy. And he declared unto them that they had a love in the Spirit, with a capital S. They had love in the Spirit. And that in them they had faith in Christ Jesus, and they had love to all the saints. This was refreshing for the Apostle Paul and Timotheus to hear. That there were believers. There were believers in Epaphras, in Colossae, and Epaphras was bringing them news. And this news was good. They had love in the Spirit. They had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that faith was strong. And they had love one for another toward all the saints. And from that point on, the Apostle Paul committed the Colossians in prayer to the Lord. And he says that here a couple times in this reading that we had together this evening. And so let's remember ourselves that it's pleasant when we hear good news from a far country. It's as a cold water to a thirsty soul. And it's good when we hear of others who have a love in the Spirit, who have a love one for another toward all the saints, and who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins this epistle by writing, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. These were saints. These were faithful brethren in Christ. These are titles that are coveted after by one who desires to be one of the Lord's. To be called a saint, to be called faithful brethren in Christ Jesus. These titles are great titles to have. Honorable, admirable. That we would have this title of saint and faithful brethren in Christ. And it can happen. And it can happen when we have this faith in Christ Jesus and when we have love one for another and toward all the saints. And his first desire was for them that grace and peace would be imparted unto them. And this is true of every epistle that the Apostle Paul has written. That in the beginning he would always desire and express to them that they would receive grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace that is so needed, unmerited favor, a goodness from the Lord, and then peace. Peace in a disturbed world. Peace in a chaotic world. Peace in a fallen world. That peace that can come from God would envelop the believer. And so he expresses to them, and he just gets right into it. He says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He's making this declaration. I've been praying for you always since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have toward all the saints. When that news came to him, when Epaphras showed up to the Apostle Paul and he says, those in Colossae have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and they have love toward all the brethren, toward all the saints, that he was comforted, that he rejoiced, that was as cold water to his thirsty soul. This was good news from a far country. And when he heard that news, he committed them in his prayers. And he says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. They had a hope. They had a hope that was in heaven. They had a hope that as they were fulfilling the commandment of Jesus Christ, that they would have love one toward another, and that they would believe in Jesus Christ, that then that resulted in that the fruition of that was that they would have the hope of heaven, that they could have a hope of eternity, that they could have a hope that as they heard that Jesus had ascended up into heaven and that he was received up into heaven in the clouds, that they had this hope likewise, that they would one day be with the Lord, that they would occupy those mansions that Jesus has gone on to prepare. And they had this hope alive in them. And they heard it in the word of the truth of the gospel. And he says, which has come unto you, and as it is in all the world. It was going forth in all the world. It first began in Jerusalem, then in Judea, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. And it brings forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As soon as the Colossians had heard of this word of the truth, they accepted it. They believed it. And grace was dispensed to them. And they knew that grace of God in truth. And then he says, as ye also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Again, this was so refreshing for the Apostle Paul that he gets right into it right away, right in the beginning of his epistle to them. Epaphras came to us, and he told us this good news of your love in the Spirit, that you love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, that you love your neighbor as yourself, that you love the direction and the promptings of the good and the Holy Spirit in your lives. And then he says further, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with all the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So again, he's imploring them. He's telling them and he's revealing to them. When that first day came that we heard of your love in the Spirit, we didn't stop praying for you. We didn't stop praying for you. If I recall correctly, I don't believe that the Apostle Paul had ever gone to Colossae. I think Colossae is more in the interior by Laodicea, and he was more along the coast. I don't believe he ever even seen these believers. But yet when he heard of their faith in Christ Jesus and their love one for another, he did not cease to pray for them. And in his prayers, he asked God that God would fill them with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This was the Apostle Paul's desire for the Colossians. Be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The wisdom that is pure. The wisdom that is peaceable. The wisdom that is gentle and easy to be entreated. Full of mercy. Without partiality. Without hypocrisy. Be filled with this wisdom. And a spiritual understanding that goes far beyond what the philosophers were saying of the day or whatever it was, but that they would be filled with that spiritual understanding. This was the Apostle Paul's prayer for the Colossians. And then he further prays for them, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Walking worthy. Again, last Sunday we had a message that was repeated yet again, that we are to be followers of God as dear children and to walk in love. And here the Apostle Paul is saying this again, walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord. Follow the Lord. Walk in love. God is love. Walk in that love. that we would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and then being fruitful in every good work. Grace was being dispensed to them, and the Apostle Paul was praying that grace would be given unto them. And grace is very important in our lives. And grace and good works are not mutually exclusive. They are not separate, but they go together. And so he's praying for them that they would receive grace, but also that they would be fruitful in every good work, that they would labor for the Lord. The Laodiceans were neighbors to the Colossians. And the Lord Jesus had a message for the Laodiceans. He says, "You're neither hot nor cold, and I will spew you out of my mouth." But it wasn't so for the Colossians. And here the Apostle Paul is, be fruitful in every good work. May the labor of your hands multiply the fruit and grow. And he's saying further, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Be found in the Word. Be found knowing His will and doing it in truth. And then he says further, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power. I find that to be just a profound and beautiful statement, that we would be strengthened with all might. With all might. Some of us are stronger than others, but all of our strength is limited. It's very limited. But in the Lord, we can be strengthened with all might because it's according to His glorious power. His power can fill us that we would be as He would have us to be, that we would believe in Him, that we would have love one for another and toward all the saints, that we would grow in spiritual understanding and wisdom and in the knowledge of His will, and that we would be able to overcome the enemy of our soul. And so this was His desire and His prayer for them, that they might be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, not of our own power. That's what's crucial, not of our own power, but of His power. And when we lean upon His power, that gives us a sense of comfort, it gives us a sense of peace, it takes away the anguish that we don't have to perform. The Lord works that in us according to His glorious power. It's glorious, and it's mighty. And it brings about a patience and long-suffering that comes with joyfulness. See, some of our own power might bring us to be suffering long or being patient with others, but maybe not with so much joyfulness. And maybe that duration of our patience or long-suffering has a certain limit to it. But when we are strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, when His Spirit occupies us, then we can have patience and long-suffering, and even with joyfulness. The Lord can do that in us. We can't do that, but the Lord can do that in us. In the third chapter of this book, he writes to them, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering," and he says, "forbear one another." He tells the Colossians, "forbear one another, and forgive one another, even if any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." He's saying, forbear with one another. And we can have this patience and this long-suffering, forbearing with one another, with joyfulness, because His power fills us. His Holy Spirit gives us the strength and gives us the grace to do so. The Lord has created us all uniquely. We all don't have the same personality. Some of us we're all different. We're all different in our own ways. And when one might be on one extreme of a certain spectrum and another on another extreme of a certain spectrum, it might be hard to tolerate one another. But here the Bible is saying to have all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, that we are to forbear with one another, that we would recognize that the Lord has created us all uniquely. But what the Lord wants is us to forbear with one another and to have love toward all the saints. And when we have love toward all the saints, then we can be saints and we can be then faithful brethren in Christ Jesus. The Lord gives us this grace to do that. Further, he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The Lord has made us to be acceptable, to be meet, to be the partakers of this inheritance, that we would have this hope of eternal life, that we would have this hope that we could dwell in his presence throughout all eternity. And so we are to render unto him thanksgiving for that. He's the one that has made us to be meet or to be acceptable, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Again, to be called a saint, it's a high title. And the Apostle Paul is referring to the Colossians as saints. You are saints. And you have love toward all the saints. And now they are to give thanks to God, who has made us to be acceptable, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Such a mighty act of the Lord, that he has taken us from this dark, wicked world and the power thereof, and he translated us, he transferred us, he moved us out of that into the kingdom of his dear Son. Took us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon a rock. Took us from the repulsiveness of sin, the dirtiness, the filthiness of sin. He took us out of that. And he translated us and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And he put upon us a robe of righteousness, and he declares us to be saints as we repent of our sins, as we walk in newness of life, as we have faith in Christ Jesus, and as we have love toward all the saints. Faith in him. This is what he's drawing us to. There are many instances of those who had faith when Christ was here upon this earth. There was a time when that paraplegic was let down by four men through the roof, and Christ saw their faith, and he healed them according to their faith. Logic and every scientific and every common sense way would say, there's no way that this paraplegic, whose muscles are all shriveled up, his joints are locked in a useless position, there's no way that he can be healed. No way. But they had faith. They had faith. And Jesus healed that man according to their faith. According to their faith, yeah. And then there was this centurion who had a servant who was sick of the palsy, and he was grievously tormented, the Bible says. Grievously tormented. And we can just see how someone who would have palsy and would have the shakes and would just be such a difficult life. He was grievously tormented. And this centurion comes to Jesus and just says, say the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus says, I'll come. And the servant and the centurion says, no, you don't need to come. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus took the opportunity and said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And it was a centurion. It wasn't a Pharisee. It wasn't a scribe. It was a centurion, a Roman soldier. This is the faith that the Lord is calling us to. The Colossians had this faith, and Epaphras told the Apostle Paul and Timothy, the Colossians have a faith in Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Paul, as soon as he heard that, he did not cease to pray for them. And he prayed for them continuously. We have redemption through the blood of Jesus, even the forgiveness of sins. And then it goes forth in these last three verses that we read together to speak of the preeminence of Christ, that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things consist. Paul had a sermon to the Athenians on Mars Hill, and he spoke to them of this unknown God. And he says that God gives life, God gives all life and breath and all things. And then he says further, for in him we live and move and have our being. This is what the Lord has done. And when the Bible here says that in Christ or in the Lord all things consist, that means that all things exist, all things have their being because of the Lord. And it is only in the Lord that we live and we move and that we have our being. It is only in the Lord that that happens. Our life breath is we're leaning on him for our next heartbeat, for our next breath. And in him, he's the one who gives life. And he's the one who takes life. And so the Apostle Paul here is speaking of that preeminence of Christ. And so we see here that in two verses here that Christ, or the Apostle Paul, when he heard of the faith that the Colossians had in Christ Jesus and the love that they had toward all the saints, that he started praying for them and he never quit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, pray without ceasing. And that's what the Apostle Paul did. He prayed without ceasing when he heard from Epaphras what the Colossians had in terms of their living in Christ. He closes this book of Colossians by writing unto them, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So here it was, the Apostle Paul was claiming that he was praying for the Colossians from the time that he heard of their faith in Christ Jesus and the love that they had toward all the saints. And now he's declaring unto them that Epaphras likewise is always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And we are commanded to pray always one for another, to pray and to believe that though it might not make sense that a paraplegic can walk again, that one who has the palsy can be freed from that and have strong muscles and functioning joints and no longer shaking uncontrollably. We are to have faith in the Lord, and that's what he's calling us to, is to have faith in him and to pray one for another. Samuel was working with the children of Israel and having a difficult time for them because of their ingratitude for the gifts that God had given unto them. And they rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. And so, but then at the end, he speaks to them, and it's written here in 1 Samuel chapter 12, that Samuel saying to the children of Israel, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Here Samuel saying the same thing that the Apostle Paul is saying and that Epaphras did, that they would pray continually for the believer. And so Samuel saying the same thing, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, and consider how great things he hath done for you." And so we are to consider in our hearts the great things that God has done for us, from translating us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, for giving us redemption, even the forgiveness of our sins. We are to be eternally grateful for that, and believe that with Christ all things are possible, that he can do all things, and that we would have love one for another, forbear with one another, and glorify the Lord in our lives, that it might be heard of us from a distant country that there are believers that are believing in Christ. Even when it seems impossible, they are believing in Christ. And they have love one for another. A week and a half ago, we were encouraged to pray one for another. We were encouraged that prayer is very powerful, and it is something that we can do one for another. It helped in the time of the Colossians. We were encouraged to pray one for another. Think back over the last week and a half. Have you prayed one for another, for our fellowship? Have you prayed that we would be strong in the Lord, that our faith in God would not diminish, that our love for one another would be strong, that we would recognize that God has created us all uniquely, and that we are to forbear one with another, and that we are to have love for all the saints, as it was in Colossians? Have we done that? If somehow we have missed it or didn't do that, perhaps we can be renewed to do that, to pray one for another, to pray one for another that we might be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, that we would live lives that would be obedient unto the Holy Spirit, that we would be encouragers one of another's faith, and that we would be a blessing one to another. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.